Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We have a lovely guest today. Lori Nushka is joining us. She is a UK-based IFS-informed therapist and spiritual guide specializing in inner parts healing and grounded spirituality. She supports clients in understanding emotional triggers, reconnecting with their inner world, and building self-leadership and inner safety. Welcome to the show, Lori.
No, thank you very much for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you about your work, and I was trying to figure out where to even start. So maybe you could help me out in terms of explaining, what was the impetus or the catalyst for you to kind of move in this direction in your life?
So in a way, so many things. And at the same time, I can very clearly pinpoint some kind of very key experiences that I had in my life that led me to, I guess, the point I'm at now. One of those key ones was a kind of big breakup in my early 20s that created a story within me that I wasn't enough. And at the time, it was an experience that I was having that I really wasn't able to make space for or be with. It just was a case of numbing out. I didn't know how to deal with these huge feelings I was having. And it subsequently then led to many years of chasing very unavailable relationships in my life and feeling that they were somehow going to make me feel better, by them choosing me. This was all very unconscious, of course, but it's what I soon learned was the case. And it sort of got to a point where I was emotionally exhausted. And that then led me to working with a particular therapist who was working with in an IFS informed way, internal family systems informed way, which I found so unbelievably powerful because alongside that, I had for many years prior been on what I can only describe as a kind of some what you might call a spiritual awakened journey, but I consider it more a sense of expanding into this sense of awareness that was so much more beyond the human natured existence of, this human life. That I can only describe as a deep trust in life, in everything that it had thrown at me and continued to do so-called positive or negative. And I was no longer seeing it like that. It was very much my capacity to expand into this connection to something greater was almost like a switch I could turn on so quickly. And yet, what was wonderful about discovering IFS was that there was an element to which I was kind of bypassing my human nature by virtue of the fact that I had this very clear, distinct connection to my spirit nature. So when things got tough, I could, go out, go on retreat and just feel better, by expanding into this realm that was beyond the humanness. And but then the humanness kept on coming up and it was a kind of avoidance in a way, I think. It was amazing and still continues to be amazing that connection with source, but I have a very different relationship to it now. It's very much alongside my human nature. There was a kind of the two of those things. And, I guess the final thing to say on that question is that my spirit nature connection was through my connection with nature. That was where it was so profoundly met. I had never taken kind of any plant medicines or anything. And at the time when I would describe these experiences of my connection with nature to friends who perhaps had, they would say, well, this is exactly what it's like to be on a kind of journey, on a plant medicine journey. And I was just kind of accessing that without those interventions, which felt and still continues to feel incredibly profound.
So something that you said earlier, I wanted to go back to that that many of us experience, and I hope I explained this correctly, we have, whether it's through relationships, like romantic relationships or any other kind of relationship or experiences in life, we start to see patterns. And we maybe at some point we'll be like, why does this keep happening to me? Why do I keep, running and meeting these people? Why are all of my relationships like this? Why, and I think it's interesting to talk about this because many of us will just move along our life and just like kind of own that victim, mentality and just accept it and just keep going. But I think that it maybe it's even difficult for people to stop and ask, why is this happening? What do I need to look at? What do I need to investigate to understand like why this is happening to me? So I think that part is the struggle for a lot of people to even want to do that because like you said, maybe some of the stories we carry, we don't even want to acknowledge or take a look at. And so when you were going through your relationships, what made you want to go to, what is it, the IFS to be so helpful with diagnosing like what's going on with yourself or understanding like what, why you're having these recurring situations?
Well, the truth is, I didn't actively or intentionally move towards IFS. I've met a practitioner, a therapist who I just really liked. And I thought I really felt very safe with her. And I liked her approach, which was a kind of one of really deeply listening to me and encouraging me to listen deeply and further to myself and what in IFS we call parts. And, and I really resonate with I really hear what you just described there, this kind of, we can have all the awareness and we can kind of verbalize that awareness and we can say, I do this thing over and over, or I repeat these patterns, or I'm aware of the fact that I choose this particular type of person. And I'm in many ways, I can do that myself. I can talk till the cows come home about what I'm aware of. And then, but then what I was also aware of was when we're just dealing with that on a very kind of cerebral, psychological level, it really stays up there. And it's in a kind of form of analysis that you're aware of what you do, but what I wasn't experiencing was any real kind of healing within that. It's like, okay, I'm doing it again, I'm doing it again, but I'm still doing it and I'm aware of it. And what was so beautiful with this particular practitioner and what I experienced through IFS and now experience in the work I do with clients is that you are speaking first and foremost to the soma, the body, and where you hold the feeling that comes up within that story, that pattern. And when I say feeling, it's very sensorial. So it's like a sensation. So, for example, I can give a really clear example because this is still happening. This still happens to me to this day and will happen for the rest of my life. The difference is I now have an incredible toolkit to be able to not fix or deal with this, but to really listen to these parts. So I recognized yesterday I was getting incredibly angry and frustrated and felt quite trapped by a particular dynamic in my life. And my way of dealing with it in the moment, if I'm not able to, which is what we ultimately do, self-regulate my sensation, my feeling, is to just kind of either shut down and kind of want to push that person away. Because there is a part of me who's afraid that if I share how I'm really feeling, that they might disappear. For example, there's a part of me that thinks if I share in an ownership kind of way, I'm feeling quite trapped in this moment. I'm feeling like I feel this tightness in my chest and I just need a moment to just step away. This is my thing. I'm here to deal with it. But there's still a part of me who I am aware of who feels too afraid to do that. Because if I do that and I share how I'm feeling, this person who I love and care for might just disappear. And that's sort of what this part of me has known. So my task in that moment is to step away from the situation, even if it's just for a few minutes, and go and sit with this feeling, this tightness in my chest, and know now that it's just a sensation. I'm not actually unsafe in that moment, which is what this part had perceived and continues in many ways to perceive now, that I'm somehow under threat, that I am going to be trapped and I'm not going to be safe, I'm not going to be able to breathe. And ultimately, you know, if you kind of continue, well, what happens when you don't breathe? Well, you die. There's this incredibly strong part of me who feels this existential fear of this kind of loss of life. And so my job then is to bring that part in and take care of it, not in a way that I'm trying to fix anything, but for this part of me who has held these stories, these beliefs, and quite frankly is exhausted not by the belief, but exhausted by the fact that I haven't taken the time to sit with it and say, I hear you. What have you got to say? This is a huge feeling. Like, let me listen, let me bring you in closer. And I think that we're in such a culture of fixing and eliminating these feelings. And that's just not how it works. These feelings have been there for a long time, these parts. And so long as you try and resist or reject them, they're going to get louder and they'll come out any which way they can. And this profound shift of turning towards it and saying, oh my God, no, it makes sense. Of course. I mean, you had an experience that was so huge and you didn't know how to deal with it. What can I now, as an adult, offer you that you didn't have at the time and give you that sense of regulation and safety that you didn't feel you had at the time? And once they hear that, and once they're offered that, and once they're given what they didn't have at the time, everything changes because your whole nervous system regulates. And I'm able to go back into that situation. And often it's not actually a case that I need to say to that person, can you just step away? I'm feeling this is too much. Actually, I need to just step away myself, regulate. And sometimes there's a conversation that needs to be had, but really it's about me recognizing that the patterns, they come from our soma, from our nervous system. And yeah, there's a story behind it, but that's just a story. And the stories almost fall away. Because it's not to diminish what we hold in those stories, but it's to recognize that the power of the healing really is much deeper, and it comes from a deep place of listening, not just to those stories, but to where they're felt, what they need, and how to support them in that.
So when you are in this, mode of deep listening, and from a personal standpoint, are you hearing like a message that is healing, or how are you reaching this understanding of that feeling? That makes sense.
Great question. So, first thing to say is this can't really be done in a kind of this layer of consciousness. You have to drop down into a deeper brainwave state, as it were. So, obviously, when I'm working with clients, we go into a more meditative state, and my direction is, I want you to tell me where you feel this. Like, where is the sensation? And it's almost immediate that someone says, you know, I feel the tightness in my chest, and my belly is really like I can feel an ache, or I feel a heaviness on my shoulders. And so, okay, let's go there. And then as soon as someone starts to say, I say, you know, so tell me more about this sensation you're experiencing, and is there something it may have to share with you? Is there any kind of something coming out of these sensations? And when they start to say, I think it's like, oh no, I don't want you to think, I want you to listen. Listen. And as they listen, the whole dialogue starts to change. It's, ah, okay, I'm 3 years old. I'm at the supermarket and I can't find my mum. And I'm really scared. And I don't know where she is, and I can feel this tightening in my chest. And then when, you know, so then this whole story comes out, and they're like, I don't know, I don't even remember this. I don't even know this memory. You know, it's so deep, a lot of the time, so deeply seated, but we can only access that stuff when we're in a deeper layer of consciousness. And I would say IFS is incredibly powerful, certainly for the first part of people doing it when you're guide, it really needs a lot of guidance. Because while my intention, and I feel is what is really effective about this, is ultimately to give people a very empowered practice to take away with them long term, for the, you know, for a period of time, you really need a lot of guidance in this. And there's a tonality to the voice, of course, to get you into a certain state as well. And working with a practitioner whom you feel safe to go into those spaces with. But ultimately, there is a deeper layer of consciousness that comes through without any need for thinking about it or remembering anything. It just comes by the virtue of reminding the client to listen. Okay, you're thinking, listen, what does it have to say to you? And often they might see a version of them and it may not look human. For example, a lot of people encounter kind of quite a small, fragile, maybe they're wearing a certain thing, maybe they're a certain color, maybe they're kind of look a certain shape. And we really just sit with that, and it's a place of curiosity, of not kind of trying to change this part, or if there's other parts that come in that might judge it or fear it or don't want you to kind of go close to it. We also have to take into account those parts and sit with them for a bit and just check that they would be okay to step aside for us to really get to this deeper part who is holding a huge amount. And it's so unbelievably powerful because it's if you imagine a small child coming into the room who's feeling huge sensations, you would bring them in and you'd say, let's sit with this. Tell me what you're feeling. And they have that capacity to kind of, in a way, share it on that sort of deeper layer of consciousness. It's not necessarily so cognitive. And that's kind of the same thing we're doing. We're doing a lot of repair. And there's no blame in this. It's what people were, those caregivers at the time were trying their best, undoubtedly. Even if it wasn't a great situation, they were trying, I'm sure, for the most part. So yeah, it's incredibly empowering in that sense. So that's kind of what the listening looks like, really.
So with these inner parts of yourself, would you say, and I know this is a ridiculous question, but I'm going to ask it, would you say that a lot of these parts come from like adolescence as opposed to from like later, like adulthood, much later in your life?
Yeah, I see a lot of them come from even earlier than that. Yeah, many of them come in those kind of very early years where we were deeply reliant on our caregivers to stay alive. And any hint that that was under threat creates such a huge response in our bodies. And if we undoubtedly, a lot of the time, we don't know how to self-regulate, we are reliant on our caregivers to do that. So if we're left to cry a bit too long for our sense of safety, it creates this. And again, this isn't a blame thing. It's just recognizing that that is something that happened. And so then, of course, you move into, becoming a teenager or an adult, and certain occurrences start happening, which are somewhat reflective, perhaps what we might describe as attachment styles that start developing. So yeah, they're generally earlier, younger parts, but then there's this kind of what certainly I've experienced in my life. There's a kind of ripening that happens with them if you aren't aware of them, and they develop incredible adaptive qualities, protective qualities to stay alive because they really believe if I do this, like me chasing the person, if you do this, this is what's going to keep you alive and safe because finally someone will come and they'll turn around and say, you're enough, and that's going to keep you alive. Like, that's going to make you feel so good. You will feel like, you've survived the insurmountable thing. And of course, that is never going to happen. And the only person really that it needs ever any affirmation from is oneself. And so it's coming back to that place of deep self-healing, such that you can have relationships in all myriad forms with others that is much more ultimately healthy, if I want for a better term. But it's a life's work.
That's exactly, that was the other thing I was gonna say. Like, as long as you're here on the planet, you're always going to have, unexpected situations or challenging relationships or, really complicated dynamics in life, whether it's at work or family. So that's why I always wonder, like, even in at this part of your life, are you still kind of like uncovering other parts that maybe you had not known before were there?
I generally find I meet the same sort of parts, and they're big parts. And aligning this with the kind of more spiritual journey, as it were, I firmly believe they are, kind of karmic lessons. And there's a kind of game of life, which is not in such that one wins, but such that you come here to learn this lesson. To what extent are you going to continue to deny that, numb it out, do the thing that, and this is no judgment, but just an awareness that a lot of humans do. They just walk through life with the blinkers on, because quite frankly, it feels a lot easier in many ways, right? That kind of ignorance can feel like bliss. I was at an event yesterday and I saw these kind of girls having a blissfully sort of simple time, and I feel and think and experience life in an incredibly deep way, and it's not easy. But this is clearly my life's, this is a path that I have chosen to pursue. And so I tend to meet this, when you really go down to the depths of each part that comes up, it's generally meets a similar kind of core essence. And for example, my one continues to be and has always been about the fear of being alone. And it's so interesting to meet that part, because in many ways, I identify and understand that part so clearly. In other ways, I think, I'm an incredibly independent sort of seeker. Freedom is my ultimate kind of value. And so where does this come from? It's the kind of but it makes sense. Okay, if freedom is ultimately your ultimate value, there's this interesting, the paradox that you're terrified of being alone and become really good at masking it, it would seem. So getting closer and closer to that part, tending to that part, has been extraordinary in so many ways, but in no small part, I think the biggest awakening was when I got to that deep fear of aloneness. What it didn't mean was then, oh, I need to be with lots of people, or I need to be surrounded by people, or I need to be in that way. It was, I'm never alone because I am deeply interconnected to everything, and nature being my source of awareness to that. When I get into that deep, dark sort of depth of the fear of aloneness, all I need to do is step out and be immersed in nature, and it's almost like, again, that switch. It's like, ah, oh, I am not only never alone, but there's a sense, if I'm really honest, which is like, and I want to be really clear, I love life, but I'm like, I cannot wait to die. Like that kind of sense of that transition into that oneness, which I sense is, on the other side of this human experience. There's a kind of longing for that, but I also recognize you can have that here. It's just a different kind of experience of that, perhaps.
It is. So when you come across, this part or a story that you kind of, implied is like a paradox, is it at that point where you ask spirit to intervene and explain? Like, if you can't really understand, like, the story, or if there's some sort of contradiction that's not making any sense, how do you get to the root of that? Like, where does that assistance come from, if that makes sense?
So actually, I would say what I do in those moments is actually get very in touch with my human experience, and that's the parts work, so it's like, okay, step away from the fuel in a way of I'm feeling really like claustrophobic here in this situation, like it's too much, you're getting too close kind of thing, for example, which is definitely a feeling I have a lot of the time. And it's okay. So as I described to you before, where am I feeling? Okay, there's the tightness in my chest. Okay. Just kind of taking some breaths in a way to let that tightness have more space, not to get rid of it, but just to say, let me fill me up a bit more. I want to create more space for you because you exist here in my chest. So we create a bit more space. And with that, it has a bit more space to breathe and share with me how it's feeling. And so it's not, I wouldn't say it's like, in no way does it feel like a kind of spirit. It feels very human. It feels like I'm going in to talk to this part of me who incarnated earlier on in my life. And I don't have a conscious awareness of that part, but I have a deep awareness of that part when I go into these other layers of consciousness. And it's, okay. You're feeling a kind of tightness. Okay, what's happening there? I feel trapped. Okay, let's just take a couple of breaths, and that's totally, it makes complete sense that you feel trapped because you're feeling like encroached upon. There's a sense of, but okay, let's just stay with that. And as soon as I take some breaths and say, "Come closer, I hear you," the fact that they get space to feel what they feel, almost immediately the feeling starts to dissipate. Because I'm not trying to breathe my way out of this. I'm saying take up space. And by virtue, which seems crazy when you say it, but we can all understand that feeling of, okay, I just need to like make some space for this feeling. And because it doesn't feel pinned down, in maybe like 30 seconds to a minute or so, if I then check in with myself, okay, how am I feeling now? The feeling is almost halved, if not almost disappeared. That tightness. And it's not then to just be like, oh, I'm fine. It's at that point where I go, what? Okay, tell me a bit more. It's like, well, I'm afraid if that person gets too close that I'm going to attack them. Okay. So what we're actually afraid of is this part of me who's feeling a bit angry. And what, you know, what's underneath that? Okay, I'm afraid that if I express my anger, that this, it comes back to what I said before, this person's going to leave. So somewhere there's a part of me who learned this story. That's what we're getting to in that. Ah, if I'm angry, someone leaves. Okay, right. So that's sort of a part of a journey I've taken you on there. So we just keep on asking the question, what happens if someone leaves? Then I'll be alone, right? So you see, we always, you kind of always ends up at that kind of core story. Ah, okay. So ultimately, what felt like me feeling trapped is actually a fear of aloneness that's right at the core of this, which again, you kind of, you couldn't have got there had you tried to kind of figure this out. You have to go into those places. So I just say all of that because it's about dealing with our humanness first. But what I will say that is so profound, again, I use the word profound, but it so is with the IFS, is that somewhere along the journey with IFS, you meet what I describe, and they call it self with a capital S, what I would describe as higher self. And it's an energy that comes in often unannounced in session. And it's this sense of lightness, sometimes you might describe it. I described it as almost like a kind of euphoric love. It just felt like the absolute essence of love. And I remember saying this to my therapist at the time, and she's like, okay, yeah, this is, we're meeting your higher self energy, because higher self doesn't, is the pure essence of I can hold anything, I can be with anything. And that fear of aloneness, we brought in higher self energy, who for me held quite an archetype. She was the divine mother, and she had a very particular, I could see her. I could feel her energy so much, just enveloped this part of me who felt alone. And I, from that moment on, knew that not only was I never alone, but I could call upon her, and just feeling her hold that part of me was like all of that fear just dropped out into the ocean. It was like it just was nowhere to be seen. And actually, there was just such a sense of feeling of it felt so loved. And I felt like I could do anything. So what this ultimately means is I'm not driven anymore by the fear of being alone, and the ways that it shows up in all these areas of my life in ways that I couldn't identify here. I have to get to my humanness first, because if I bypass that, there's this sense of you're just getting to the euphoria without really understanding what we're actually really taking care of here, which it will just, as I said before, find ways to come out in different ways. Whereas in this way, it knows that when it does pop up, the distance between taking care of it and you feeling it and taking care of it is so much shorter. It's not disappearing, but the distance just gets so much shorter. That life just feels much easier to navigate, I think.
So when you're working with clients and they are they're just starting out on this journey and they're learning, are you gaining insight into what's going on, even from a spiritual perspective, what's going on with that person during their journey at all?
Yeah, do you mean in their life?
In their life, but from more of like a spiritual perspective.
Yeah, I think. So there's a few things that happen on the kind of, I guess, on a more spiritual level in the session. So again, it feels important to marry the two of the human and spiritual nature. So often a session might start, what's, you know, how are you? What's happening? And something will be present for them. I very much encourage clients to turn up as is, without an agenda. And what they thought they were coming for could be vastly different from what they actually turn up and say, actually, something's just coming through. I don't know where this is coming through, but this is what's happening to me right now. So we sit with that. And we then really sit with those parts, which then get us to access that spiritual, I guess, nature, that self energy with a capital S, who's able to be present with all of the parts that have come up today. And then something else happens, which is often in that spaciousness of the presence of what we pretty much universally describe as love, you know, that kind of knowing of the light, the sense of, and again, I struggle to put words to it, but I think we all know what I mean by that sense, the knowing. Is that there's a kind of channeling that sort of starts to happen through me, and I just really let that happen, and it's I can never remember anything I've said, but I just know what needs to be said in that moment, and it's yeah, seemingly incredibly healing for the people I work with. And it's not, it's, I wouldn't say it's a kind of channeling in such a, like, a mediumship way. It's a channeling of the reminder of that knowing that we all have, but perhaps we've got too far away from, just by the virtue of being human. And I think, yeah, that's what tends to happen. So I guess why I'm saying that is I feel like I kind of meet their spirit nature in that and become the channel to remind them of that. And it, yeah, it feels familiar in that sense. Yeah.
So what is, I guess, if somebody was interested in moving in this direction in their life, what would you, I guess, from a personal standpoint, what has been the biggest takeaway or biggest epiphany, or how has it really changed your life over the years?
I mean, I spoke to someone recently, and I said this, and I really feel it, which is that it's getting away from this culture of fixing and changing, because change is our nature. You know, that's going to happen whether we like it or not. Trying to control the change, yeah, we can do our best to try and do these things, but ultimately, if we're doing that from a place of force or resistance, which often is what we're doing, including myself a lot of the time, it's having that awareness that you're doing it, I think is really amazing. But coming back to your question, we're not here to fix or change things. We're here to take care of these parts of us who are deeply, deeply in need of love. And so long as you meet this incredible energy, which we all have access to, of higher self, you can sit with and be with the full range of the human experience. It's so empowering, because what it's meant for me is that I can be with the full range of the human experience. I'm not trying to eliminate any of it. You know, when I'm in pain, it's not like, get me out of this. It's like, let me move towards that, sit with you, be with you, take care of you. I'm not trying to fix this. I'm in awe of your immensity, because I now have a nervous system who can be with, and I can be with that. Equally with pleasure, you know, we can all run towards pleasure and want to stick with that arena of our lives. And nature of change means that that's not going to always be the case. But when it's there, to what extent you can be with it so fully, embrace it completely, and then allow yourself to continue to move and evolve and ebb and flow in through the current of life. That is, you know, that's what we're here to do, right? As human beings, is to feel. And yet we spend so much of our time trying to block or resist or omit feeling, because we haven't learned to tolerate the human experience. And I honestly think that for me, and I believe for others, is one of the greatest gifts you can give to oneself, is to learn to tolerate what it means to be human, such that discomfort is a welcome. You know, it's part of our nature. Feeling is intense a lot of the time, but it's not unsafe. And so long as we learned that it's not unsafe, we just need to understand how to be with that range. Life changes immeasurably. We're not fighting against it. We're going with it.
Yes, that's very true, even though many people feel the opposite.
If we haven't learned, if our nervous system hasn't learned the opposite, then of course we're going to feel like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Well, Lori, if people want to connect with you and work with you, where can they find you?
So I'm on Instagram, Lori Nushkarol. Although I'm not terribly, I mean, active on there in parts, but I think my highlight is I write a newsletter every few weeks, and I really pour my heart and soul into that. And it's a lot about reflecting on my client work and my own life, and hopefully some supportive wisdom that I impart on there. So people can sign up to all of that on my website, which is laurienushka.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Lori. Really appreciate it. And everybody, have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.